In the race to build the next generation of AI, a single component inside data centers consumes up to 30% of all power. But this week, major players announced a new technology that could slash that energy use by up to 3.5 times. A fundamental rewiring of computing is underway, and it's happening faster than anyone predicted. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing for professionals in U.S. and European industry. I'm Susie. Every week, I sit down with our expert analyst, Troy, to cut through the noise. This week, we're tracking a seismic shift in computing infrastructure, the great rewiring from copper to light. Major players like NVIDIA and Broadcom have just hit a critical milestone that changes the game for AI data centers. We'll also cover the supply chain tsunami, with Nokia investing nearly €1 billion in U.S. manufacturing. And finally, we'll look at the geopolitical battleground, where a Chinese tech giant just won a major European security certification, creating new complexities for Western firms. Troy, welcome.
Good to be here, Susie. This is a pivotal moment. The theoretical future of optical computing became a mass-market reality this week.
Let's start right there. We've seen a flurry of announcements from Broadcom, NVIDIA, and others about something called co-packaged optics, or CPO. In plain English, what is this and why is it such a big deal now?
CPO is a new architecture for data center switches. For years, we've used pluggable optical modules that convert electrical signals to light at the edge of a circuit board. CPO moves that conversion process right next to the main processing chip, the switch ASIC, inside the same package. Broadcom announced this week it has commenced mass production of its 800G CPO switch ASICs. Similarly, NVIDIA and TSMC are now mass-producing their own CPO switches.
So, shortening the distance the electrical signal has to travel, what does that actually achieve?
It fundamentally changes the economics of data transfer. Shorter electrical paths mean dramatically less signal degradation and power loss. This allows them to eliminate power-hungry components called retimers. The result is a massive cut in latency and, as you noted, a potential 3.5x reduction in interconnect power consumption. Given that AI workloads have pushed copper interconnects to their absolute physical limits, this isn't an incremental improvement. It's a necessary breakthrough.
Lumentum's CEO predicted this shift would happen within 12 months. It sounds like he was right. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For manufacturers of high-performance computing hardware, this is a paradigm shift. If your product roadmap for 2027 still relies on traditional pluggable optics for high-density AI clusters, you are already behind. Opportunities are exploding for European and American firms in advanced packaging, silicon photonics foundries, and the specialized equipment needed to produce these CPO modules.
What about trading companies and distributors who handle these components?
The product mix is changing overnight. Demand for legacy copper-based components for high-end AI will start to decline. The high-value products are now CPO modules from Broadcom, optical I/O chiplets from specialists like IR Labs, and the underlying silicon photonics wafers. Sourcing channels need to be updated immediately. Market timing is critical, and the window is now.
So the actionable insight for executives is to get ahead of this immediately.
Precisely. Convene your engineering leads. Audit your product roadmaps and your suppliers' capabilities. CPO is no longer a technology to watch, it's a technology to implement.
This sounds like a massively expensive transition. Who's footing the bill for this great rewiring?
The entire ecosystem is, because the demand from AI is insatiable. We saw concrete proof of this in Nokia's Q2 earnings this week. They reported a remarkable 20% year-over-year revenue growth in their optical networks business, explicitly driven by AI and cloud demand.
20% is huge growth for a company of that scale. But they didn't just report earnings. They announced a massive investment, right?
That's the real headline. Nokia is planning to invest between 800 and 900 million euros in its optical manufacturing capacity in 2026 alone. Crucially, a huge portion of that is going to the United States, including a new facility in San Jose and expanded test and packaging capabilities in Pennsylvania.
A Finnish company making a nearly €1 billion bet on U.S. manufacturing. Why there?
It's a clear-eyed strategic play. It de-risks their supply chain from Asian geopolitical tensions. It positions them to benefit from the U.S. CHIPS Act, and it puts them physically closer to their biggest hyperscaler customers. We're seeing this across the board. Global Foundries also just secured a $300 million reward from the Commerce Department to accelerate its silicon photonics R&D in the U.S. The center of gravity for high-end optical manufacturing is being deliberately pulled westward.
What's the implication for European manufacturers who aren't Nokia?
It's a stark warning. If you're not investing in a U.S. presence or forging strong partnerships with these expanding American hubs, you risk being cut out of the primary growth market. European competitiveness in this critical sector depends on acting now.
And for trading companies trying to source these parts?
Expect supply to be extremely tight, especially for key materials like the indium phosphide substrates Lumentum CEO flagged as a bottleneck. Building relationships with these new U.S. facilities is paramount. Distributors should be preparing for capacity allocation and advising clients to place long lead orders.
So the actionable insight is about supply chain resilience.
Yes. Executives must reevaluate and de-risk their supply chains. The assumption that all advanced components come from Asia is now dangerously outdated. Diversification, especially towards North America, is no longer optional.
With all this critical infrastructure being built, security has to be a major concern, particularly with Chinese equipment in the mix. What did we see on that front this week?
We saw a fascinating and contradictory picture. First, the Chinese firm ZTE announced its entire Optical Transport Network, or OTN, portfolio has achieved the EU's EUCC Substantial Level Cybersecurity Certification. This is the first time any company's complete OTN portfolio has done so.
A top-tier European Union security certification for a major Chinese company? That seems to run counter to the prevailing narrative.
It's a highly strategic move by ZTE. They subjected their entire product line, from backbone to edge, to stringent European evaluation, and passed. For a European telecom or data center operator, this provides a significant degree of assurance and makes it politically and technically easier to purchase ZTE equipment. It directly counters the argument that their hardware is inherently untrustworthy.
But that's the European perspective. What's happening in the US?
The complete opposite. A report this week highlighted U.S. Representative John Molinar proposing legislation to phase out Chinese-made LiDAR technology from the American market entirely. He cited national security risks and the potential for data backdoors, dismissing assurances from manufacturers. It's a hard-line stance that reflects deep skepticism.
How are U.S. and European manufacturers supposed to navigate these two completely different realities?
It's a major challenge. It means a piece of equipment, whether it's an optical switch or a LiDAR sensor, could be deemed secure and certifiable in the EU, but effectively banned in the US. This forces companies that build global products to either maintain two separate supply chains or choose which superpower's market they want to serve.
And for trading companies and distributors, this sounds like a compliance minefield.
An absolute minefield. The country of origin for a component is now a primary purchasing factor, right alongside performance and price. You must have perfect visibility into your supply chain and understand the regulatory landscape of the end user's market. A shipment of components could be perfectly legal for a customer in Germany, but illicit for one in Ohio.
So what should executives be doing about this?
Your geopolitical risk assessment must now be as rigorous as your technical due diligence. Legal and compliance teams can no longer be an afterthought in procurement. They need to be involved from the very first step of supplier selection. Ignoring this divergence between the U.S. and EU is a recipe for business disruption.
All right, Troy, a complex week. Let's boil it down. What are the three strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the optical tipping point is here. Co-packaged optics are in mass production. The move away from copper and AI infrastructure is not a future event. It is happening on factory floors today at NVIDIA, Broadcom, and TSMC. Second, the supply chain is reshoring fast. Huge U.S.-centric investments from companies like Nokia and GlobalFoundries, backed by government funds, are reshaping the global manufacturing map for photonics. If you're not part of this, you're at risk. And third, geopolitics dictates sourcing. The stark contrast between ZTE's EU security certification and the proposed U.S. ban on Chinese LiDAR means Western companies now operate in a fractured regulatory world. Component origin is now a first-order strategic concern.
And the one essential action item for executives listening right now?
This is an all-hands-on-deck moment. Convene your engineering, supply chain, and legal teams this week to review your company's exposure and opportunities in this copper-to-optical shift. You must assess your dependence on legacy technology, your reliance on non-U.S. supply chains, and your strategy for navigating a world with conflicting security standards.
A powerful directive to end on.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, as always, thank you for the clarity.
My pleasure, Susie.
And thank you for tuning in to Troy Technical Intelligence. To ensure you never miss an analysis, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week to help you stay ahead of the curve.